but I did catch a great article that summarized our new cannabis holdings, because our joke has been during the GameStop thing with the volatility, we picked up a couple of our cannabis names that we've been looking at. So I've been telling the clients on our full year outlook, which is part of our new Supernova calendar, working well. Can't believe we actually did this. You tell us to do things and I say that's impossible, and then we do them. And then I become a believer.
Yeah, they're shocking. They work.
Yeah, shocking. They work. You know, can you imagine clients like a full year outlook at the beginning of the year? Yeah. So, we mentioned, you know, I gotta hand it to us. We mentioned in the letter, you know, the things that we'd be doing, the things we'd be looking into. We end up executing on it. The stocks ended up, so we bought a couple stocks during the GameStop. They went up like 50% because the social media got a hold of it, among other things. It just became a momentum thing. And then we turned it into, you know, obviously the clients liked it, but we turned it into humor, which said, you know, what the world's, when the Altmans are buying you cannabis stocks, you know where the world's going or something like that. I make some kind of joke about, you know, Altman advisors buying you cannabis stock, you know where the world is going, and they laugh. And they usually say, and half of them say, can shareholders get samples? So, you know, Pop, I had Tana's Brian yesterday asking us if we could send her brownies.
Yes, anytime. By the way, now I can hear and see you, so thank goodness.
There we go.
Oh, cool. That's a
technology. It's great. Technology.
By the way, this is the first time I've used this blasted camera. So anyways.
Well, you look good. You look very professional.
Yeah, it's supposed to work through the speakers too. It doesn't. So I'm living and learning. Okay. We'll get it fixed.
You look a little bit like a pilot, Pop.
I know.
I always wanted to be one, but you know, I have one bad eye. So screw it.
I know. They hadn't invented contacts yet back then.
Yeah. Hey, you could be a bombardier navigator. No thanks. Okay.
Yeah, the bombardier navigators didn't make it very often back.
A6 intruder, yeah. Low and slow. Anyways, let's drop that subject. In any case, I'm glad to see all you guys. We got through a hell of a week. And I know it's not over, but it seems like a week already. So I'm happy to see you, and everything's going well, thank God. So,
have you gotten your shot yet?
I got my shot. My wife got my shot. It's absolutely amazing story, and I don't want to take the time of the group here on how she got her shot. Give me two minutes.
You paid the Illinois Mafia, right?
I did. No. So I got my shot 50 miles away, and we sort of screwed up her thing. Don't ask me why. Probably my fault. So she couldn't get the shot. They wouldn't let her get the shot, even though Cook County said, just go there, they'll give her the shot, and they won't. They wouldn't. So I studied with a rabbi, as does Ben, and I said, she can't get her shot. He said, well, let's see if you've got clout in my community. He calls it the Hood. It's a Orthodox Jewish community in Chicago. And they're setting it up. Then we have this thing in the neighborhood where they give information. Hey, we found this place where they're giving shots. You have to pay $200. It's part of another health, big hospital group. Advocate. You guys probably heard of Advocate here in Chicago. And all of a sudden, they're giving her times to come in. And we get one. And I said, we had just been studying about the Exodus and the Red Sea. And, you know, I don't take it literally, but he does, but that's besides the point. And, all of a sudden, she gets another invite from Cook County, another invite from Walgreens, another invite. All of a sudden, all these invites are coming in. So I said to him, you know, I don't know about clout, but the Red Sea opened again, and Miriam is dancing and singing on the sands of the Sinai. Anyways, he loved it. So she got her first shot, where second shots are set up, and now I'll shut up. Okay.
Wow. That's
a good story.
A lot of content in that story, Pop.
I know.
including biblical. Right.
Yeah, how do you do it in 120 seconds?
I know. We don't have to go to prayers today. We got
Yeah, we can see Miriam dancing.
Yes, she did. She did with thimbrels. Thimbrels.
Good dude. So let's see here. Okay. So let's see what's up, Rob. So Rob, we were working on the board, topic. Okay. So we're in week 12, guys. The official program's over. From now forward, it's monthly meetings with Rob. We ended up postponing the last one because we needed a head start on the Schwab transition. And, but we didn't want to lose our time and we wanted to stay on schedule with this 12 month schedule of Rob. So here we are kind of mid month. We're picking up on the board, topic, which is all of us can do this and our wives or significant others. Which gives us even a further outreach. You know, we really have a tabula rasa right now when it comes to, marketing. We kind of had a director of strategic communications come out of the woodworks who's, a wonderful cousin on my dad's side. He's the director of communications at Utah State Valley University, which is, you know, a mid-level university out in Utah. But heck, if we have a director of communications helping us, he helped us get our letter together. But in such a way that it was a different communication style than we typically do. Cause anybody that would add to our full year outlook, which I did send to you, Rob, I did continue to revise it, but if you'd like to see, our final copy, I can send it to you.
Sure.
Okay. So I was able to use that because part of the letter was a full year outlook, which is called the Doubtlook.
Yeah.
And that now I just take it and I add it to my Supernova appointment. I said, attached is the Outlook. Okay. We attached it to the portfolio reviews, but that's that. And then the Supernova meeting is another meeting to use the marketing material. And I kept revising it anyway. I caught some grammar mistakes or the guys and I kind of every guy on the team kept, giving their input until because we didn't really have enough time we got the returns out within January, which is our goal, but the letter itself needed a little bit more work. And so we kept streamlining it. We kind of cut probably one more page out of it or half a page. And, it became incredible content that talked about the fact that cannabis, which is front cover news now, it talked about the fact that, you know, the renewables with the new administration, because we went from 5 to 10% solar, transportation, green utilities, both domestic, foreign, you name it. It talked about industrials, which we may or may not get into now with the next Uncle Joe spending plan. It talked about, it satisfied both, you know, both ends of the political spectrum because we always do that.
Yep.
Basically with the conservative end of the spectrum, we said, don't worry, we got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't worry. It's just another adaptation. Okay. With the liberals, it was heck yeah. We're going green in more than one way. Okay. In fact, we're probably 15% green soon and in more than one way.
And we're smoking dope.
Yeah. We all, and it's working. So, you know, well, that was the second green, right? So the liberals love it. They're absolutely in love with what we've done. You know, that's right. The new Green Deal. Da 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 da. And the conservatives are like, we don't give a shit. As long as it makes money,
right?
You know, we're happy. Thanks for getting my back. You know, that kind of thing. And so
thanks for not telling me to sell out.
Yeah, which is not what the liberals did when Trump came into house.
Right now, sold out.
Yeah, they sold out. But we're keeping the Republicans invested. So, you know, that's what we do here at Altman Advisors. We keep people from blowing themselves up at the wrong time. We try to.
We try.
We have a new visitor. So, let's see. Silverman was a terrible referral. By the time I called back him, he said, I haven't, he He goes, I haven't given it much thought. And of course, my, our joke was, do you have many thoughts or, you know, how are thoughts going these days? You know, so I haven't called, I called the assistant. I spoke to him. She said, call me back in 2 weeks. I didn't actually do that. You know, I feel bad, but you know that this was not a good prospect situation, even though he's rich as hell. So, and obviously that is not the single criteria for finding a client. We have had a wonderful turn of events. You're not going to believe this. This is truly remarkable. We lost three clients last year to the heavens. Okay. And, we've retained 100% of the assets.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible.
That never happens because they disperse it to the kids and the kids are gone.
You know it. Number one problem in the industry. We even picked up assets. We're actually getting deposits from the heirs. Supernova, right? So we call it family office planning because I don't like saying generational planning. I try to rebrand certain things. I try to say financial independence for retirement planning. I try to say, family office planning when it comes to generational planning. And we managed to get to Georgia to meet the client's son, even though sometimes there's strain in the family relationship. It has nothing to do with us.
I know.
Okay. And that's the hardest circumstance to try to continue the generational, you know, impact. And, we managed to get to Georgia, have lunch with the kid and his wife. And gosh, if we hadn't done that in-person meeting, we would not be where we are right now. Wow. Okay. He is not only wanting to keep all the assets with us, as is the wife who just got married. Okay. Who has not been a client. But he's like, why would I want to be spread out all over the street? You know, your favorite line.
Scattered.
I scattered. Why would I want to be scattered all over the street? I've got $900,000 at B of A, but they're IRAs. I go, IRAs are okay. You know,
we'll take those.
Yeah, we'll take IRAs. You know, it's 50% of our assets. So it's amazing the things that the inexperienced with advisors thing people come up with. It's incredible. But the objections are easy to handle. And, my father taught me, I'm blabbing now. My father taught me, and so did UBS, this model of you've got to get the objections out. Cause when we hear the objections, this is real sales training, guys.
Right.
When we hear the objections, we can resolve them. If we don't hear the objections, we don't even know we have no direction, right? So if
objections are your friends.
Objections are our friends. Thank you. Excuse me.
Can I add something there?
Sure.
I had sales training at IBM. I call it my first real job, and it was a long time ago with something called a 360 computer, which was once recently in a museum. But the sales training was easy because they taught you the power of silence. Yeah, I won't work it on you guys right now. And they taught two other things. Objections come in two forms, easy to answer and difficult to answer. Your first instinct with easy to answer is blurt it right out. No, don't do that. If I understand what you're questioning, and you repeat it, and then you answer it. You don't just blurt it out because take the time. What about the hard to answer one? Do the same thing. If I understand what you're questioning, let me think about this. Is that it? Well, it gives you time to think about the answer. That's number one. And number two, you could say, obviously, you know, let me get back to you with an answer on that within a day. So it gives you time to think. You just don't answer the question, the objection right away. That's all. That's all I have to. That's my sales training for today.
Let's parlay that. I want to parlay that because I'm actually, Rob, I'm going to actually take a vacation tomorrow, supposedly. And I don't want to use the word supposedly. I want to use what my father just said to empower John and Dylan because they're going to be on the front lines. Okay. And what my father just said is what we can use 100% of the time when we answer a phone call or we respond to an email. Thank you for the message. Let me get back to you. Email's easier. Thank you for the message. Let me get back to you. Let me look into that. Right. On the phone, anybody can handle the phone this way. If I understand correctly, you're telling me, you're asking me XYZ. What's a good number that I can call you back on? And I'll get back to you, within 24 hours. I'll get back to you today with a follow up. Right. John, Dylan, I don't know if I can do this, but there's some technology where if John can't pick up a call, I can probably route it to Dylan as a backup to John. And, Dylan, I haven't asked you to answer our main phone line at all, but as a backup to John while I'm out, it would be very helpful so that we don't go to voicemail as a business. And sure. I just want to empower you with what Shelley just said, what my father just said.
Yeah, I certainly don't mind doing that, especially in a time like this where if it's extra needed. I feel comfortable doing that. I might not be as smooth of a talker as, you or Pav, but I feel comfortable handling, I can at a minimum do what you just said.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've had you on client calls. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, Dylan can come up with, as our family office analyst, which really, Dylan, the reason I use the word family office is because I want it to be broader than investments. Like our big pitch is that we're beyond investments. Okay. It's broader. It's comprehensive. It's holistic. So, you should see, Rob, what Dylan can come up with. Like it seems like instantaneously when a client asks about a stock, it's incredible. Like stuff I haven't even heard of. And then he pulls something, and it's intelligent and it satisfies what the client wants. And the client says, hey, thanks. Talk to you later. It solves the matter because, clients are constantly asking us about investments and things that frankly, most of the time we shouldn't be investing in, as you know, Rob.
Bitcoin. And,
yeah, Bitcoin. Yeah. We got the question on Bitcoin.
Hey,
ready?
Nothing wrong with Bitcoin, Rob.
There you go. So we have. And that's nice too, because then Dylan like satisfies it like, hey, I understand why you're interested in that, but the list goes on. Typically clients are interested in like stocks that are being pumped and dumped. And so, it's just helpful from that aspect to have our, as you can see, it's different with this. We do have to rebuild. I would say the Schwab transition got the best of Dan Anderson, so he's no longer with us. I would say that John Brick, moved on. He's the chief investment officer of a smaller firm now, as of today. So, onward upward. It's tabula rasa for us. I mentioned to the gang, we're doing something called a culture index now. That's like a Colby or, one of those things. we really want to play our strengths in the seats and the roles. You've always emphasized roles to us. We have an accountability chart with all the different functions and five functions laid out for each role. And we're just going to start filling seats. So we're revamping our hiring process. Some of it's going to be automated with video. I have all these friends through, YPO, Rob?
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, EO, maybe?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm in EO because I'm like the kid brother. We're not doing 10 million in revenue. I'm not in YPO. That's, mostly public companies. But I'm definitely a, in the EO chapter in Chicago. And there's a lot of resources with this EOS thing that I mentioned, which is really an operating system, where we could basically, we're going to incorporate, some software to have applicants apply into, take a culture index. If we want to proceed, they'll do a video interview with a couple of questions. If we want to proceed, then we'll put our personal virtual assistant on, who we have contracted for a first round interview. If we like that one, then maybe we'll give them an assessment, actual skill assessment, to see if they have the capacity. And then if they make all those cuts, they can meet the gang. Okay. And that's, so it's process. And it's not our time up front for like, that's four steps I just mentioned. That's not us. Okay. Right. Cause we really got to hire. First of all, we're like approaching $320 million in assets. We're doing great. I looked at the Schwab RAA chart. We now are officially one registered advisor. Yours truly here is one registered advisor. We're top. We're going to add over time. Obviously, that's the objective here. But as our team, and you're looking at it, okay, we are top 12% in the United States of America in assets, okay? If we looked at it, we wanted to count it the way like a UBS would count it, guys, we'd be an all-star team. We'd be in the top 1%, okay? At Oppenheimer, at UBS, anywhere that we'd be in the top 1%. So that's something to celebrate. We got to stop and celebrate sometimes. But the key thing is, at this point, we want a chief operating officer. We're going to build out squads. We're going to have the right person in the right seat. And we have a tabula rasa. It's an opportunity. So Dylan's going to be on our letter this next quarter, which is exciting for us and for Dylan. And Dylan's getting more into equities at this point, which was Rick was helping us with. Pav is really knocking him out of the park with the planning associate role, with us getting great plans to clients. If we can just find more people like John and Dylan to fill out our roles of analysts and planners. Okay. And obviously look at, I'm the first to admit I don't even want to say this. I'm a good planner and I'm a good portfolio manager. I don't have an MBA. I'm not even, my personality type is not even a, such that I'm not a people manager. Okay. So those are my strengths. If my strengths are planning and portfolio management, then let me be an advisor or the lead advisor and let me, help with portfolio management decisions. It's working. We're outperforming last year. We outperformed this year already. You know, we're killing it. So the key is that we get ourselves, I'm going to fire myself from everything that I either don't like to do or I'm not good at. And I'll just keep filling in. We have a wonderful revenue stream. I'm going to hire up. Our goal was to hire up 5 people before we had 2 departures recently. Therefore, we need 7 people.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I obviously need a COO to help me manage that process. Okay. Adam, so you know, I stopped inviting him to these calls because I pay him per hour and he wasn't really participating. He could review the notes and so on. He is a consultant his dad's our recruiter. His dad introduced a real producer recruiter. We're not ready for that yet though. We need to build out the foundation before we find multi-million dollar producers to recruit. Okay. So, Adam didn't want to move to Chicago. He's from Iowa. It's fine. He's got his consulting business and so on, that he's doing well with. he didn't originally want the job because he wanted me to build out a team first. The advice I'm getting from EO is the opposite. Hire the COO and they will help you build out the team.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, that's, I'm hearing that consistently. I know that it wasn't appealing to Adam because Adam wanted a big team to manage, but that's fine. Okay. What we need to do is we need to keep this. We need to keep this together. You know, as far as when we have the people in the right seats, I need the COO to help me. It's called implementation. It's called EOS implementation. It's not like Supernova implementation. It's not the same concept. Okay.
Yeah, kind of the same. Yeah. No, it's good.
It's not the same. It's implementation is implementing things down with the team.
Yeah. It's implementing your plan.
Yeah. It's implementing our plan as a business. Right.
I want to go back to Shelly's selling skills.
Okay. I'm going to shut up.
Shelly, why don't you teach a selling skills course to these two young guys?
Very good idea. I'll try to, it's a good idea. It's been a while, but, I just took that test that Ben's talking about, and apparently he said, you're very sociable. I said, yeah, I happen to like people. Okay. So,
you're the socializer. So, but I think one of the things that's lost in our new world is selling skills.
Absolutely.
And the magic of the words. I mean, I wrote your words down, if I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, well, you owe me $5 then.
No, I mean, listen, we used to use that, you know, but you forget.
You do forget.
So dig out your old, you know, we used to call it Xerox selling skills. Yours is IBM selling skills.
Right.
Everybody from IBM and Xerox.
Right.
In our industry, because they had great selling skills, and then we taught that Xerox selling skills model. And it's really critical to understand, because you and I would be trying to explain to these guys establishing the rationale for the call. You know, what is that about? Why do you have to do that? Let's just go into the presentation. No. You can't, until you get them on your side, you can't do that. You know, in the VIPSA model, you know, ask the value question. That's basically establishing the rationale for the ask. When you use the VIPSA model, which is value, important, permission, suggestion, advice, which is Bill Cates's model for getting introductions, you establish the rationale by asking the value question. And the value question is, let me ask you a question. What are the three things that you valued the most in working with our team last year? Okay. Now their answer determines whether or not you move on, right? Mm-hmm. If they say, no, I don't value anything, I go anything, right? Then you don't move on. And that's the same thing with Xerox selling skills, IBM selling skills. You got to establish the value where you're going, why you're going to the next level. Transition, right? Remember the old transition to the next step? So you transition. You do your presentation and then you close, transition to the close. And then managing objections. Objections are your friends. How do you manage objections? Remember the old feel, felt, found? I understand how you feel. Other people have felt that way before, but what they found is, right? Remember that? So teach them those things. Dig out that old book, which you probably have kept because I keep all my junk forever.
It's here someplace, but God knows where.
Right. Or just rack your brain to go back and say, okay, what was the model? How did it work? How do we transition from one stage to the other and so forth? And I think it would be very valuable. And then just practice with them.
Role playing.
It just builds confidence. And then scripting. Guys, don't forget the script. You don't learn Macbeth without a script. You know, you don't try and do Macbeth without a script. The more you script, the better you do. Agendas. Don't do anything without an agenda, okay? You want to have an agenda. It keeps you on track, keeps you from going off on tangents. Me, you, everybody goes off on tangents. And then finally, let's go back to the original board participation.
Okay.
let's go back and read the chapter in the Supernova Multiplier on board participation. How do you get on boards? What is the role you take on the boards? How do you work your way up the ladder on the boards to become president? And then how do you develop relationships along the way that will, people go on boards and they leave boards and they say, I never got a referral. And I say, so what did you do? Well, I didn't do anything. Other people are like, I get 30% of my business from boards. How do you do it? Well, it's really kind of simple. I don't know. It's called unconsciously competent, right? They don't know what they're doing. They just do it. Shelley, you've got all the world of unconscious competence. You do all kinds of things. You don't know what you're doing and they end up generating referrals and business and so forth. So what do they do? I asked them, so what did you do to generate 30% of your business? I don't know. I'm on a board for around 5 to 7 years and then I move to the next board. How do you get on the board? Well, I'm just asked because I'm active in the community. Okay. What do you do when you get on the board? Well, I'm on a committee for, you know, a couple of years and I become head of the committee and then I become a vice president and then become president and then I move on to the next board. And you do that every time? Yes. Oh, well, that's probably what we should do then. Okay. And what do you do? How do you make, you know, generate these relationships? Well, I make friends when I get on there. So I said, you ask people for lunch and dinner and stuff. And oh yeah. You know, I always ask a couple people out to get to know them so I know who they are. Ask them for lunch. We make friends and then move on, right? So, you know, I think about all the boards I'm on and every one of them, I'm really good, become very good friends with the people on the board. Other people go to the meeting. Shelley, you know this, right? They go to, they're on the board. They go to the meeting. They come late. They leave early. They don't get engaged. They don't go to the ball. They don't buy a table. They don't. And then they wonder why they don't get any introductions. It's clear the only reason they're doing it is because they are trying to get business. So when you do these things, your goal is to make friends, right? It's not right. Fundraising. It's friend making. So that's the game. You make friends. Make friends with the CPA. The CPA then becomes a center of influence. Every board you're on will have a CPA on the board. They'll all have a banker. They'll all have a CPA. They'll all have an attorney. They have one of each, right? And they'll have you. And you're expected to be smart when it comes to managing the money and helping them raise the money. So when they ask you what committees do you want to be on, you ask to be on the finance committee or the investment committee, and you ask to be on the development committee. Those are the two things you want to be on. If you're not on those, you're missing the boat. People say, well, I don't want to raise money. Well, then don't go on the board. Okay. Cause that's your job. And how do you do it? Because you're friend making. You make call and guess who they have a list of? They have a list of all the
wealthy people,
all the rich people in town, right? That's where all the rich people sit. And the bigger the board, the more important the board, the richer they are. So your goal is to go from one board to another and constantly move up the pecking order till you're on the symphony board in Chicago and you're on the art, you know, you're on the, what's the big art museum in Chicago? Which is
the Institute.
Art Institute. You're on those boards. Trust me, you're on with the CEOs and the companies in town, the biggest players. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful thing because otherwise you'll never get to meet them. And if you do,
right.
All you need to do is just do a good job. Do the jobs they don't want to do, which is fundraising and worrying about the money and worrying about managing the money. They don't want to do any of that.
And if we don't do the finance committee, why are we missing the boat?
If you don't do the finance, well, you can't manage the money if you're on the board, but you can supervise the management of the money. Okay. And then when you leave the board, then you can manage the money.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, you just can't have a conflict of interest.
Right. Right. I see. That's what missing the boat is.
Yeah. So the game is, look, and if you all, seriously.
Poppy, you did. That's what I actually call my dad. you did that with Beth Emmett. You actually got the Beth Emmett account after being the treasurer.
Yeah, but no, that was the Beth Emmett account didn't make money. What I did was without asking.
You got a pain in the ass. I didn't know.
No. Shh. Without asking, I got referrals, and we got three major clients from it right now, even today. But I didn't ask them. They got to know me because I did the dirty work of actually leading the fundraising that they did once a year and calling, getting on the phone with a team of people to call people at home and say, hey, we need your help here. You know, it's that time of year. So whatever we said, I can't remember. It's 30 years ago. But I was the treasurer. They made me treasurer after a while. I didn't ask for the job. They asked me to do it. I was on the fundraising committee. Just what you just said. Rob, just what you just said.
Kelly, you're unconsciously competent. Seriously. You never wrote a chapter on how you develop business from raising money through foundations and boards, right? No, you never wrote that chapter. I wrote the chapter because I had to become consciously competent because I got to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But when I asked you the questions, you gave the exact same answers I got from the guys that are doing the best work in that area. Now, let me tell you something. Did you consciously think, I'm going to get a lot of business from this? No. You never went on there to get business.
No, they actually, they knew what I did. I forgot how. So they asked me to the board and they said, you're going to be on the fundraising committee. So that's how it all started. And we've got some very, I mean, one of the clients is a really major client today. Actually all three of them, Ben just talked to and, we're in great shape with them. Thank goodness. That's all I'll say.
But think about it. So this is not something, Ben, that you and Shelly and everybody, John, Dylan, you're not going to come back to me and say, Rob, you know, we joined 8 boards and it's 6 months and we haven't gotten 1 account. Okay.
Yeah.
Do not say that to me. This is not what we're after. What we're after is you plowing the fields. You get 8 fields plowed and planted a year from now. 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. Those fields are going to come in. Think of it as planting trees, not a yearly crop. You're planting trees that are going to grow. And they'll be some of the biggest accounts you'll ever get. Because those are some of Shelley's biggest accounts. They come through those organizations. They do not come from cold calling. They come from your existing clients, yes. Because they trust you. But there's no better way long-term to prospect than to do this. But you have to be so patient with it. You got to keep doing it. Keep doing it. And do it for all the right reasons, because it builds your brand in the community and makes you a better person. You got to keep notes. You got to have minutes. You got to have an agenda. You got to run the meetings. You got to be good, okay, which makes you a better human being and better at what you do. And then you'll be asked on another board and another board. And then you develop a brand in the community as a guy that gets things done. And there's nothing better than that. You will not get that brand until you become president and successfully finished your tour. And then you're asked to other boards. It is not a short-term investment, but it will pay off in sizes that you just can't. I mean, you can't get any other way. I'm sorry. I cannot tell you another way to get those really big 100 million, 20, 50, $70 million accounts. But you can't get them that way. But they want to see you work for them. You become an employee of the CEOs on that board and they watch you work. And if you work well and they like you and trust you, then they will turn their money over to you. Shelly, am I right?
Yeah, yeah. I used to tease them also because I compared the fundraising to a military campaign. And I said, the only thing we're missing is air support here. But, you know, I talked about the callers the letter going out is sort of the artillery, but your call is the infantry. You're on the ground. Okay.
Unfortunately, you're pointing the spear.
Unfortunately, we haven't got any air cover here, but you're the point of the spear, right?
Right.
And we'd go in these groups and we'd have calling night. But I was there too, making the calls. See?
Of course you were.
The lieutenant's got to be in front of the platoon. I'm sorry. Okay.
Right. And the other thing is, think about the other way that you raise money. You go with the director of the organization to a meeting, to a lunch meeting with a big donor, right? So the three of you are there. What are you there for? For the big ask, right? They know it. You know it. The victim, the target knows it. Everybody knows it. And guess what? Yeah. You got a chance to meet Mr. Big.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which you never could meet otherwise. And you're the one making the ask because you're on the board representing the board.
Well, one thing very good about the Supernova program is you always have an agenda going into a meeting because you listed the agenda from the last meeting, from the last call.
Right.
So that becomes your agenda. Here's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about it. Then we're going to talk about what we talked about. the close at IBM was always, is there any reason why we can't do business?
Right. Make them come up with the excuse, right?
So you're beginning to bring some of this stuff back to me, but, I don't want to repeat my age, but you know, I this stuff is so old right now. I have to really think through stuff.
So it's great. It never gets old. Those words are valuable. Those are words that were vetted, you know, for 40 years, and so they're valuable words. Everybody wants to substitute other words for valuable words. Don't. Make sure you're substituting as powerful a word as you're giving up. And that's part of it. It's keep it simple, stupid, right? Simple, simple. Don't talk more than you need to.
Right.
Silence is king.
I remember doing one meeting and it was actually out of town. And I had a systems engineer with me and I said, and this was very high tech, business at that point in time. And I said, is there any reason why we can't do business? And the guy at the head of the table said, no, no, there's no reason. holy cow, I was ready to pass out, but I didn't. They had no objections.
It's awesome.
We did the deal.
Well, so, then you got to make sure you know how to write the ticket.
Yes, that's for sure.
Right. What do I do? Oh God, it's my first order. I don't even know how to write a ticket.
Yeah.
Anyway, I used to teach that. How do you write a ticket once you've, you know, if you're selling a product, I made them learn how to write the ticket. Because we used to actually have to write it. And today you need to know how do I go into the computer and place the order?
Right.
Anyway, time to leave, but, good. Make some progress on this.
We will.
Okay.
We're going to talk about VSPA more. Cause that's something I could add to the calls next quarter. What did you like about last year and whatnot? But
what are the three things?
Three
things that you valued, not like.
Yeah. What are the three things that you value?
Right. Make sure you get the script.
We need to script this.
Scripts in the book under the chapter on VSPA. Okay.
Find the chapter.
That's the other book. Okay. It's not.
I gotta get to a meeting on time. See you guys. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.